All right, Joel Radio, welcome back, everybody. How you doing out there in radio, computer, iPod land?
Yeah, radio, computer, iPod.
Well, things are varying now.
That is the number one electronic store in North Korea.
It is.
Radio, computer, podcast land.
Yeah. But now it's like, you know, you're listening on an iPod. What are you? What are you, behind the times? Look at the old man with his iPod over there.
Did you know Beta actually won the format war in North Korea?
Did it really? I wonder if they're having problems.
Yes.
Did you see that? I don't know why I'm on a North Korea
We had North Korea trivia with Corey Hall.
Well, you know, they threatened to launch a missile and it hit the water.
Yeah.
Well, somebody...
That's what they wanted to do.
Some expert went and analyzed the photos of their missiles that they have in, like, their parade. You know, they do the big commie parades like the Soviet Union used to do.
Where they display their prowess.
And they were like, these missiles are fake.
Oh.
These missiles wouldn't even fly.
So, well...
They're just really up to some shenanigans.
Well, hey.
It kind of makes me... I'm kind of not really surprised when a country that can't handle growing rice, can't figure out ICBM, really?
Yeah.
They have trouble growing rice.
But, here's the thing about that, though. So it's all propaganda, so it's just all about what it makes you feel.
Right.
And if it makes you feel like your country's strong and we can kill America, if that's how you want to feel and you feel that way, then I guess it serves its purpose.
No, but what frustrates me is when people over here go, oh, my God, North Korea!
Well, that's true, too, yeah.
Our media... You talk about their media being propaganda. Our media is all, what are we going to do about North Korea?
Yeah.
Like, get the bitches a Twinkie. That's what we ought to do about North Korea.
There is the thing that people don't understand is that, you know.
People don't understand global politics.
Behind the crazy maniac leader of whatever country, Iran, North Korea, there's people there who actually, you know, who actually want a microwave oven.
Right.
There's
right,
people waiting to eat a Big Mac who you know, believe it or not, you know, people act like...
How do you think East Germany went under?
Exactly, but people...
Because
you know,
East Germany spent 40 years looking over the fence going, but they have...
Right.
They have discotheques.
Yeah.
Why can't...
People are really not really a whole lot dissimilar from us. It's just that they some people fell for really dumb shit. Yeah. Which, you know, Americans fell for real dumb shit. It was just like 300 years ago. So
Americans still fall for dumb shit.
Yeah, but I mean, dumb shit where they're enslaved by people. You know what I mean? That we've gotten over that.
We're enslaved by the Kardashians getting a $40 million TV contract. That's our enslavement. We're enslaved to stupid in a different way.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Sorry. North Korea just fascinates me.
Right,
I got the
North Korea.
When I saw the article today that their missiles are fake.
Oh.
Like they just have balsa wood and they painted them to look like missiles.
That's great. I love it.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah. Meanwhile, we're scared. The media here goes, holy shit, how will we ever survive North Korea and Iran? Meanwhile, Iran fought Iraq to a standstill for 15 years, right?
They did, and Iraq was this powerful...
They were even Stevens. Yeah. They went head to head. We rolled into Iraq and took the whole country down in 7 days.
Yeah.
Come on, please. Yeah. All
right. No, you're right about that. People are afraid, but that's, you know... That's how people keep their positions. They make you afraid of them, and they make you afraid of the world, and then...
there you go.
You're electing some asshole.
Paranoia.
There you go.
And this will all play into my review of The Avengers.
The Avengers. Coming up later. A Joel Radio exclusive review. Corey Hall has seen Avengers. He'll tell you all about it right here on this show.
Spoiler-laden.
Spoiler-laden. Lots of spoilers.
There's really not a lot to spoil in the movie.
Here's what we do with the spoilers, I think. I think this will be fun.
Mm-hmm.
Rather than doing them during your review, can we just throw them in randomly throughout the show and just spoil it?
Yes.
That'd be great.
Yes.
Yeah.
The Black Widow's a double agent.
You know, here's the thing about Avengers. I may or may not see Avengers, but you could spoil that all day, and I don't think it would ruin my enjoyment of it one bit. Because I'm not into the whole mythology.
Well, that's exactly it. It's not going to make it
It's not going to make a difference for me, but to somebody else, it might make a difference. Yeah. In fact, we got a call about. You are a comic book expert.
Okay,
you have said that.
Good. By the way, people do call me. I will get our friend Russ, who used to come on and do
Russ
the show.
Russ Brown, yeah. Of course.
Russ will sometimes his kid, his like 6 or 7 year old, will ask questions, and then Russ will have to text me and go, Now, does Kolathith rust when he turns into metal? You know, I have to answer questions like that.
All right. Well, here's a guy who's a fan of you and I know are familiar with him. I don't know if the fans at large are, but this is our friend Cam from Yellowknife.
Okay.
And I've met Cam. He came to one of my comedy shows many years ago.
Yeah, that was ridiculous. Cam lives in Yellowknife, uh-huh. which is farther than anything.
It's inside the Arctic Circle.
It's on the top. I was looking at a map the other day, actually, and I noticed there's a lot of landmass north of, like, there's whole island chains in the Arctic Sea that I didn't even realize were there because no one will ever go there.
No one lives there.
But. And they're just point. It's like a seagull humping factory. I don't know what goes on up there.
But
and
Yellowknife is sort of the last northern stop in Canada, I think. So
we tried to look one time.
We tried to plan a trip there.
It's 1,500 miles from Edmonton.
We did it.
That's as close.
Like Edmonton is so far away for us, and then it's another 1,500 miles.
Yeah, Edmonton's the closest city to it. Anyway, all right.
So anyway, Cam called and he wants to talk comic books with you. So listen to this.
Fire it up
and see if.
Hey, Corey and Joel, it's Cam from Yellowknife. I'm just phoning to let you know. Been listening a lot lately. Really enjoyed your podcast. I heard the one with Mobius the Living Vampire mentioned in there. Really loved that comic. Read it a lot a long time ago. And thought you guys might be interested in a comic I heard about or read recently, Battle Pope. I thought that was pretty good. Anyways, like the movie reviews, like the show. Enjoy the Words with Friends games, Corey.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
Talk to you later. Bye.
Yeah, right during the show.
There you go.
So what is this? What is he talking about? Because I don't know. Apparently we talked about a comic. I don't know what he's talking about. And I understood nothing.
Sure.
Not one word he said.
I was talking about a comic book called Morbius the Living Vampire from the 70s in Marvel.
Okay.
Marvel. I think probably because you were talking about the Ghost Rider movie, maybe.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that might have been. I don't know. He's a fan
of that. Sure. Now, what is he recommending to you?
He's recommending a comic book called Battle Pope, which is from an independent publisher.
Battle Pope.
Yeah.
Like the Catholic Pope.
Yes, it's the Pope, and they draw him as a superhero kicking ass.
Of course.
And completely sacrilegious. Perfect sense. And I haven't actually really read Battle Pope. I've seen it at the store and maybe thumbed one or two.
Okay.
But I'll check that out. Yeah, but that it's available out there.
Battle Pope.
Yeah, it's from a large publisher called Funkatron.
Okay.
No. It's a little indie, you know.
A little indie comic.
There's all these comic books. There's like, I went to Green Brain in Dearborn recently.
What do they do?
Green Brain's a comic book store.
Oh, okay.
And they kind of specialize in all the indie stuff.
Oh.
They won in the they're like the perennial winners in the Metro Times Best of.
Oh, okay.
And I happened to be over on that side of town and I stopped in. It's a cool store.
Yeah.
But you realize there's not just Marvel and DC. There's just dozens upon dozens of these little tiny publishers that put out a couple titles. I don't know how you got a copy of Battle Pope up in the Arctic
Circle. Yeah, that's weird that he gets it.
I mean, maybe digital downloads.
Digital downloads, and you can order stuff online.
As much as I despise the digital media revolution's job-killing impact,
yeah,
and it really does. It does hurt.
Sure.
People go, well, it's all cool, I can get it all right now. But you know what? There used to be you had to leave your house, go to a store.
Yeah.
But if you live in Yellowknife, I see the benefit because the closest comic book store is 1,500 miles away,
sure.
No doubt, in Edmonton.
Well, they say tablets are good for comic books.
Yeah.
That they put, you know, if you have an iPad or a Kindle Fire, you can get a good,
right. You
know, color comic book and you can zoom in on all the panels and it looks nice.
The problem with the digital downloads right now, and they are trying to push them to some extent.
Yeah.
They're now doing day and date release where the digital version's available the same day as the comic. Right. The difficulty is they're really about the same price as the paper copy.
Sure, yeah.
So what's the, you know.
Well, but they also, I think they're trying to discourage. I think they probably still want people maybe to, I don't know, would they want people to buy the digital? Or I think what it is that they it's about comic book stores.
Mm-hmm.
They don't want to put them out of business if they offer it for cheaper. That's why, like, when you can, you know, you can buy a lot of games now on Xbox Live.
Right.
The full retail game, but they can't sell it for cheaper because it would put GameStop and Walmart out of business.
All these industries are facing the same problem because Barnes & Noble had to come out with a Nook.
Yeah.
Which is behind the Kindle.
Right.
but it's still selling fairly well.
It's a cool device, too. I played with the Nook. It's neat.
Borders had their head up their ass, thumb up their ass. It didn't come together with a reader in time. Uh-huh. And then when they did come with a reader, it had some dumb name like the Quidgy Bow or something.
Yeah, I don't even know what that
Borders
was.
Borders did have a reader, and
they
it was
screwed
bad.
Up, yeah.
And Borders screwed up by not... Well, they screwed up previously by not embracing online sales.
Yeah, they didn't let, have a
they gave They presence. Gave their stuff away to Amazon, basically.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, too...
But, you know, it's like Barnes & Noble has to sell an e-reader... Yeah. Which is putting them out of business.
Well,
and you go, huh?
But then they have to provide the product. I mean, that's the thing too with ebooks is it's not just comic books, but regular books. There's an investigation into the pricing of ebooks.
Right.
Like, why are they so expensive? That you know, the ebook is as much as the paper book, and often more than the paper. Like the first week, a hard copy of a book goes on sale. Mm-hmm. Usually, it's what 30% off or something. You used to sell books. So it's like usually 30-35% off the retail.
Right.
And then the ebook is whatever full price is. And you're just like, hey, what the fuck, man? I want this, you know.
Well,
I
but,
want
but
this
see,
in an ebook
those,
format.
The stores would use that as a loss leader.
I understand that.
And whatever the new John Grisham book would come in, the new the new paperback would be, considering the fact that it's getting marked up already.
Right. But the people who read ebooks are going, wait a minute. You're giving me this thing that's like literally like a 1 megabyte file.
Right.
That costs you no paper, no shipping, no staff to, and you're selling it for more than the piece of paper.
But the question
that I had to lift a box and open and display on a shelf.
At the end of the day, will the digital media revolution make a difference for the creator?
Because it helps some.
The value is then, if you don't have the physical distribution, if you don't have the value is then to the creator, who made. You know what I mean? Are you still willing to pay $3 for Battle Pope?
Well, I think the feeling is that among people who are consuming digital things, don't charge us more than, you know, don't mark it up 5,000. Like, we understand that a book costs money.
Right.
But don't make the you know, essentially the electron, you know, don't charge us for shit you're not doing either.
That's
Don't build all the profit in. You know what I'm saying? If it's you, like, if you're an author and you're selling your book directly, You don't have to have that middleman pricing of the bookstore. If you can cut that out, then it should say everybody should save money. And what they're saying is that Apple, I think they've gone after Apple directly and saying you're charging all this money for these books.
Sure.
And well, you're saying, well, you're competing with the stores as far as price, or you're charging what the store would charge on price. But do you really need to do that? Is there some collusion going on with the pricing?
Amazon is definitely not charging what they're charging the stores. I mean, that's
for the books. Yeah, they'll take a loss on the books, but on the physical books. But I'm saying the Amazon, the Kindle books are expensive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's no good. I've tried buying Kindle books, and they're expensive.
Ultimately, though, that's fine because you know what? People have to pay for stuff.
I get that, and then I think people want to pay, but they want to pay a fair price.
Mm-hmm.
If you can make something for less, shouldn't you pass that savings on to the consumer?
This show is offered at a very fair price.
It's a very fair price.
Considering the content that we put into it.
It's only slightly overpriced.
Tell them how they can contribute to the... Is there still a...
There is on CoreyandJoelRadio.com. You can join the lunch fund, yeah. But
dig that out.
If you go to CoreyandJoelRadio.com, you can click on the right side of the page. I have not pulled that link over to the new page.
I would recommend to listeners like Cam... instead of
there is a PayPal donation.
Instead of buying another shitty issue of Battle Pope, donate that $3 to us.
All right, that's fine. And you can also, if you want to leave a comment on the show, 610-552-0746 is the hotline for that. So you can call in. It's a little voicemail. I'm not going to pick up the phone or anything. You just hear it beep, leave your message, and if it's good, we'll play it on the show. So Cam, thank you for contributing to the show. I don't know what the fuck you're talking about, but that's why Corey's here.
Battle Pope was actually written by Robert Kirkman, who's a really good...
He does The Walking Dead.
So, yeah.
And he does. He works on a television show as well. He's a producer.
Kirkman's good. So, and he does a book called Invincible, which is good. So I would... I'll give my endorsement to Battle Pope, having not known what it was. But if Kirkman's involved, it's probably pretty good.
Okay, cool. And by the way, we should tell everybody why it's been 3 weeks since we were with him, but I was sick last week, so that's why. We usually do a show every other week. I had horrible stomach pains and all kind of problems last week, and Corey kept saying, hey, let's do the show, and I kept going, I can't get out of bed, and I'm not doing the show, and then...
What happened? You're
I got, like, a stomach virus, I think. I'm not sure, like, if I ate something bad, But God damn it, if I didn't have, you know, I had diarrhea, I had all kind of, it was no good. I had no appetite. I could barely, like, from last Monday through, like, last Thursday, I was pretty much bedridden.
Dude, you get sick you get sick a lot, man.
Yeah, but I get, like, ailments. I don't, like, go to the doctor much.
Well, that's probably why you get sick.
No. I do go to the doctor for, like, checkups. I go twice a year to have, you know, my blood drawn and all that stuff. But I don't get, like, I can treat, you know, all you need to do is, like, take it easy for a week and I'm okay.
Yeah, I don't know. It's,
you know,
weird.
So
it's,
no, I mean, it's really, you know, it happens to people.
I get sick, like, once a year, maybe.
Well, I haven't been sick more than once this calendar year, I don't think.
All right, okay.
So, I mean, I was down for, like, 4 days. It just so happened to be the days we had to do the show, that's all.
You got, like, salmonella.
I got salmonella a couple years ago.
Weird shit happens to you.
My girlfriend gave me a bad egg and a brownie mix, and then I licked the batter. That was a big fucking clusterfuck. But that was pretty bad. But what I had last week was just like, yeah, just take it easy and eat a very, you know, eat applesauce for a week. And
there you go.
Then I'm back to my old self. So here we are. Podcasting away for you. So sorry it's late, but
so you didn't come in and have natto with us today.
What is natto?
Well, yeah, I went and had sushi with the aforementioned sushi. Harry Barbarian.
Yeah. What is natto though? Is that the name of the place you went?
No.
It's a kind of sushi.
So Harry does. This is what's great about Harry. We go get sushi, and okay. It's already something you don't want to eat. But
no,
Harry then orders the weird sushi.
Yeah. Like it's not enough to be eating sushi.
Right, you'd already be. I see. To me, I like sushi. It's great. But I also generally stick to, you know, identifiable fish.
Right. I've had sushi, and it's like you get like it's rice and a piece of fish, and it's rolled up in rice paper, and that's your Joe average sushi.
There you go.
Right, but there's weird stuff you can
seaweed.
Get though.
Well, you can get all kinds of crazy. Right, and I'll just go get a spicy tuna or whatever.
Okay.
But Harry Goetz, he wanted the soft shell crab. And the salmon roe, and then he gets natto. And natto is this fermented bean, and it's like gelatinous. When you pull it up, it has kind of like if you pulled taffy. It has like kind of a little. It's kind of sticky, and it has the weirdest texture. It's almost crunchy like nuts, but it has this really slimy feel. It's the weirdest thing I ever ate. And Harry got natto, and I went, okay, I'll try some. And I went, okay, I'm good.
And you didn't even like it.
It wasn't horrible, but it was weird.
Right, yeah.
All right. And I've heard it was weird for a long time. But there you go. That's the adventures in Harryland. He comes in here, and he calls people coons, and he ruins the radio show. But then he goes.
Speaking of, you know how I get sick once a year, or you get sick once a year?
I get sick once a week when I go to see Kim.
We're having Harry in here once a year.
Oh, so we're good for the year.
Yeah, we're good for 2012. If you're at home listening, you don't need to worry about him popping.
Well, call 610-552-0746. I'll answer your Marvel and or DC related trivia questions.
Okay.
And you can request a guest.
Oh.
Don't request Harry because he's only
Harry's
once
not
a year.
Coming back. But yeah.
Maybe we should start bringing in more comics.
We should, but it's such a weird. I mean, even. It's hard for you and I to get together as demonstrated.
Yeah, we
by
haven't
me
done a show
sick.
In almost a month.
And even this week, you had some problems when I thought, "Hey, Corey, I'm fit and ready to do a show," and then you couldn't come. So
I spent half my week sitting. My dad was sick, and so I spent half my week sitting at the hospital.
Yeah, that's not.
And my dad goes to the VA because you know he's a veteran.
Yeah.
So I had to sit at the VA hospital for. Sure. Can I recommend everybody out there? Hey, don't do that. Okay, good.
Oh, okay.
If you can avoid sitting for 8 hours in a waiting room at a VA hospital, I'm gonna.
You're gonna say,
yeah.
Stay away from the VA hospital. Yeah.
Well, here's what even annoyed me at the VA hospital. In some of the waiting rooms, they had flat screens.
Oh, okay.
But we were in emergency, and that was the one where they had the tiny little shit box, 13-inch. I don't know what it was. Maybe it was 26-inch.
Yeah.
And the shit was on, like, it was on TNT all day. So I had to watch, like, 4-5 back-to-back Law & Orders.
Wow,
let me tell you how bad that show is. Really, who watches Law & Order?
People love that Law & Order. They think it's the greatest thing
what
ever.
What kind of a moron can watch Law & Order?
There are people who just, that's what they do.
They, I, these, the they're, it's amazing to me. It's like Richard Belzer walks in. It was like SCV. It was like, here's the best part. We're in a hospital, and it's a bunch of older people, you know, yeah. and there's like a guy. There's literally a gentleman that was in World War II sitting there.
Sure.
And it's like, and then they found semen on her ankle. You know, how did it get down there?
Oh.
You know what I mean? It was like a rape. It was a rape, sure. murder, murder, rape, murder, murder. And you, and then there was one girl that falsely accused a guy of rape.
Of course.
To try and bust him for something.
Yeah.
And just going, wow, this is the worst.
It's, well, it's so formulaic that, well, first of all, my feeling is like if I'm watching a show like that, like my girlfriend will be like, I want to watch this thing, Law and Order will be on, and it'll be 20 minutes in, and she'll go, I'm going to watch this. And I'll be like, well, it's 20 minutes in.
She's like, it doesn't matter.
But it's like, I realize the show is so formulaic that it doesn't matter anyway. And I go, exactly. You would think a mystery, you would want to see the murder, so maybe you can figure out what happens, and the murder is what happens in the first segment.
No, they'll just tell you what's going on.
Yeah, and then you realize, like, oh, the guy they arrest at the 20th minute of the show isn't the guy that did it anyway. So if they crack the case... If you know, if they happen to crack this case in 10 minutes, it's not like the show goes away and a football game comes on.
It's absolutely
there's still 45 minutes left to fucking show.
That's absolutely what happened.
Yeah,
and they arrest the wrong guy almost every time.
Goddamn time. Yeah.
By the way, the city of New York would be so filed up in wrongful arrest lawsuits, right? Yeah,
right.
Wrongful
right.
imprisonment lawsuits, because every week on Law and Order they go. It was the cab driver, wasn't it?
Of course it was.
And they bust the cab driver because he's like, you know, uh-huh. Puerto Rican or something. And they're like, I know how to do it, Mr. Belzer. And then they go, oh, it was the rich white guy that really did it.
Yeah.
It's always some rich white guy that's doing the raping. That's what Law and Order is all about. This is what amazes me about Law and Order. Well, occasionally it is a black guy that does some raping. But,
occasionally, yeah.
But they try and scare you.
Yeah.
It's Law and Order is about scaring you sure. that you're going to get raped as soon as right. you leave. Like, it's four people in Iowa. I don't think anyone in New York actually watches Law and Order.
I would think not. Yeah.
Maybe they do, but it gets enough ratings, so it's obviously doing good in the top yeah. markets. But you feel like people who live in a city don't actually sit there and watch Law and Order
because
they live in a city.
Yeah.
And then it's for people in Iowa who sit there and go, oh, that New York is so scary, boy. Bob, what do you think about that? That would... Well, I saw a fella got raped twice on Law & Order, and then they shot him, and then he got jizzed on again. It's like nothing but, you know what I mean? Literally, this is what happened in the Law & Order.
Yes.
Okay, a guy got accused of raping a chick.
Okay.
And then his girlfriend came and was like, she's like, well, he's a good guy. He couldn't have raped this other girl. And then we found out that the other girl had framed him, and they busted her eventually. But meanwhile, the guy had been in prison and got raped and killed in prison.
But it all had a happy ending because they caught the girl.
No, because they were like, well, there wasn't a real rape to begin with. Oh. So we had to add a rape in which the guy who was wrongfully imprisoned is raped and killed.
And they find his murderer? Or
I don't know. It just like, it was the worst shit. Yeah. Who's watching rape television? Yeah. Who wants to watch that?
Yeah, your description of it is not interesting either. Like, it's like,
you know what I mean?
It's a terror. It's.
But you're right. Every week they bust the wrong guy.
They bust the wrong guy. And then CSI does the same exact shit.
So there's about 7,000 murders a year in New York, according to Law and Order. I mean, apparently entire small towns are killed every day on the streets of New York. Right. And it's just stupid. And then Belzer comes in and goes, boy, it's a damn shame. You know, can you believe this scumbag's going to walk on? We could have nailed him for murder one, but instead he's going to walk on manslaughter. Boy, ain't that true, Munch? It sure is shame.
Well, it's, you know, people think that.
Who watches that garbage?
People who say, like, I'm going to turn off Dancing with the Stars because it's retarded. And then they turn on Law and Order, which is retarded and for a whole different reason.
I guess there's the impression that they're watching something more worthwhile.
They are. They're feeling like they're watching something.
But it's
something
so not worth.
It's not.
Wow.
It's just like, you know, I mean, it's every bit as far, if not more so, from reality than what the Kardashians are up to.
Yeah, you know, I mean, like it's ridiculously stupid.
I know, but
I kind of the only cop shows I've ever liked are the ones like that are. Complicated.
Yeah.
The Wire and Homicide.
Sure.
And you know, Hill Street Blues. And those were more about the whole systemic, how the system operates more than how the individual crime is solved. Or, you know, there's some of that on Law and Order where the DA.
Yeah.
is a pain in the ass or whatever. But it's just so, oh my God. And then you just watch them. And then when you see like multiple episodes stacked on top of each other. It was a 2-day ordeal with my dad. And then the previous day, it was on TBS.
Oh.
And so I got like back-to-back episodes of Friends.
Oh my God.
Followed by a couple Seinfelds.
Oh.
Followed by King of Queens.
Yeah, but then you figure that's the golden parachute for those fucking people.
Right.
That are on those shows.
Oh, it is.
TBS must be paying a ton of money.
Julia Louis-Dreyfus has got a new show on HBO. Why is she bothering?
Yeah, that's... She wants to work,
although,
I guess,
that show was actually pretty funny, actually.
I haven't seen that. How is that? Veep.
Did you see the movie In the Loop?
In the Loop.
That was about the build-up to the Iraq War, and it had like British and American...
I don't think I did.
Okay. It's very similar to that in tone. No. It's good.
So it's a comedy.
It is a comedy. It's one of those sort of highbrow kind of comedies, but it is good.
Right.
At least I enjoyed the one I saw. So we'll see. But
I have not seen Veep. I have not seen Girls on HBO. Did you like
that? Oh, Girls.
That was the big thing everyone talked about.
I can't wait for you to see Girls.
Yeah, I think I'm not going to see Girls, but I kind of thought I was.
Did you watch Tiny Furniture?
I did not. So I'm not even, but I know it's a big thing in New York that you have to be in the, that's the show now. Like, don't go on Gawker if you don't want to know about Girls. Because it doesn't, you know, if the World Trade Center got knocked down tomorrow, it would be the number two story after what happened on Girls this week. Because
I'm going to do a quick summary of what every morning radio DJ is going to say about Girls.
What are they going to say?
There's this show, Girls. What is it? Yeah, Dago?
Yeah.
What?
Oh, yeah. Okay. What's with these girls? I've heard about these girls.
Yeah, so I heard on Poochie and the Nads the other day. Yeah. No, but they go, hey, you've seen the show Girls?
No, I've not.
Girls, they got this chick, Lena Dunham, and she's got all these hot friends, right?
Oh.
And they're all hanging out and partying in New York. It's like Sex and the City, but with like young broads.
All
and
right,
not like those old bags. You ever want to put a bag over a bitch and slap her in the ass? You ever want to do that, Nads? But they got all these hot chicks on there. And none of them get naked.
Oh, wow.
Except the one you don't want to see.
Oh, what the hell, HBO?
The one chick with the kind of thick,
come on.
The thick chick with the with the mashed up hamburger face, she's the one who gets naked.
Oh, what's the point of that?
Wah, wah, wah. Woo! It's all right, it's 3:48 now. Let's go to
Gravity
Weather.
Is that what you're doing? They're not?
No, that's the show, though. It's what happens is that was my bad imitation of morning.
Yeah, but you're saying the chick you don't want to see naked gets naked and the other chicks don't get naked.
The chick you don't want to see get naked gets naked.
Yeah, that's...
And by the way, the other chicks include Brian Williams' daughter.
Yeah, I've seen her interviewed and stuff.
Who looks a little bit like Brian Williams.
She kind of does. She was funny, though, in the interview.
And
I
then
thought, so.
There's the other one is David Mamet's daughter.
Yeah. I wonder how they cast...
How did they get these
jobs?
How
did they cast these women?
And then Lena Dunham is her mom is like a painter or something, which is what Tiny Furniture was about, was that her mother was a photographer who shot pictures of tiny furniture.
Okay.
Anyway, like miniature
furniture. Yeah, I mean, it's funny that that's a show coming from a movie that nobody saw.
I actually really liked Tiny Furniture.
Isn't Judd Apatow the producer of Girls as well or something?
Yes.
Or
and I think you should
producer?
I think you should watch Girls. I don't imagine you liking it.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll see.
It's from a female perspective, which of course Amy likes.
Of course she does.
My boo enjoys it because anything that's got a girl's perspective.
Yeah.
She'll even watch America's Next Top Model.
Really?
I
know. You've told
I think
me
she
You've
sort of me. Feels the need to watch girls specific.
She needs to know what girls are up to.
Yeah.
She can hang out when she's talking to her girlfriends who watch that crap.
I think that's her argument. I mean, there's shows we watch together like Mad Men and stuff like that, but she does go, well, you watch like ESPN all the time, and so I need something to watch. And that's fine. Yeah. Women need stuff to watch,
Corey
too.
Corey is going to be sitting down in front of that NFL draft this weekend.
I have got, oh my God.
Which I'm proud to say, I'm draft-free this year.
Living draft-free.
Thank you, everybody. Well, that's right. When you see me walking down the street this weekend, you'll know that man saw not one second of the draft. Although I'm probably going to end up seeing some maybe like Saturday afternoon. But I'm working all weekend. Well, I'm not going to see. Because it's in prime time now, Thursday
it's
and
so
Friday.
Stupid.
And
the draft used to be. The problem
it's 4 days now. It's retarded.
I've actually rarely ever really watched the draft because it used to be, up until about 3 years ago, the draft used to be Saturday afternoons.
Yeah.
And I used to work Saturday afternoons.
Yeah.
For a long time.
Sure.
Although for the last 5 years or so, I haven't.
Okay.
But for years and years, I would work Saturday because I worked in retail.
Yeah.
Or I worked at a restaurant or something. And so I was working Saturdays and I would like, I'd run out to the car. I'd like try and take a break, run out to the car, and wait for when the Lions picked.
Sure.
And I try to hear the Lions pick, or maybe if I was working at a store, I'd try and put the TV in the break room onto the thing. But I missed the draft a lot of the times when it was in the Saturday afternoon, and that was okay with me, though. It was kind of cool that it was on Saturday afternoon. Or if I wasn't working, I could sit there and watch it on Saturday.
Well, you
afternoon.
Haven't worked retail in a decade, so you've seen a lot of draft, let's be honest.
I guess so. No, yeah. But it's been how many 4 years since they moved it to
I think it's only been time? That's only the second year it's been in primetime. Really? I think.
No.
But see, I can't remember.
No, I think they moved it to...
Whenever they moved to primetime, I've stopped seeing it. So that's maybe that's my problem.
Well, I don't remember ever having a draft party.
I've never had a draft party.
Where you sit around with guys and you watch
but,
a draft.
I mean, I remember like the Lions' first-round pick would come usually very early, and then the second-round pick, I'd be on my way to a gig or something. And I'd have to be on my phone, or I'd call you, and you'd give me the picks. Yeah, I mean, it's I'm kind of glad I don't have to do that, but I'm just not watching. I just, there's no drama for me. I don't, you know, part of it is that I'm not a college football guy, and so the players kind of don't mean much to me. Like, all you can base the players on is what Mel Kiper says about them, and Mel Kiper says everybody's great.
Right.
Meanwhile, you know, if you look at the guys who, you know, I don't know what percentage of, if it's 50% of the first round actually makes it or something, it's not a super high percentage. It's not low, but it's not.
I am a...
It's maybe 50, 60% makes it. So I just go like, well, he's completely wrong.
I am not as much of a... I watch more college football than you, but not that much.
Yeah.
And what I do watch is generally the Big Ten.
Yeah.
So
you might know those guys.
I might know some of the Big Ten players, but I'm not going to sit here and pretend I know. You know, let's say it's an interior lineman from Purdue. I'm not going to know.
Well, he's Big Ten, but you would know because he's a lineman. His name's not getting called.
You know what I mean? Yeah. I'm not going to go.
You'll know the quarterbacks and the tailbacks and maybe the wide receivers.
I'm not going to sit here and pretend I know every right tackle from Wisconsin.
In Wisconsin.
You know what I mean? Michigan I'm not going to get all Ohio of those. State, but if anything, I'm going to know Big Ten.
Yeah.
And then after that, when it starts ACC and all that bullshit, I'm not going to sit here.
Yeah, so I'm going to be draft free this weekend. So just in case anyone's
all right, good times
wanting to talk to me about draft.
No, it starts on Thursday and then it goes all the way to Saturday still.
I think it might even go till Sunday. I think it might be 4 days now.
How are they going to stretch this shit out?
Because I think they do round one tonight, like Thursday night, round two and three tomorrow night, and then four through seven. Mm-hmm. Saturday and Sunday, or maybe just Saturday? I don't know. I don't know.
I guess I shouldn't say I haven't watched a lot of draft, but I have in the last few years.
Well, first of all, even if you did, it's so forgettable.
Right.
That what's the, you know what I mean? It's interesting. Like, I get, like, you have a draft card, and you read somebody's mock draft, and then people trade, and it's sort of interesting. But, you know, if I can go online, and what you watched in 4 or 5 hours of draft coverage, I'll get all that info in 30 seconds.
Well, sure.
And I can be doing something else, having a great time, so...
No,
draft for me.
Amy will bust my nuts because she finds the draft to be boring.
Oh, my God, it's retarded. Yeah.
It's the most boring thing. And
she's right. And I love football, but your girlfriend's right.
Well, I really only care about the Lions picks.
Yeah.
Or if there's some, like, I thought it was funny watching Brady Quinn not get picked.
Yeah, that was funny. But they've stopped that. Now there's a no humiliation policy.
Oh, yeah.
Where if the guys don't get picked, they're not going to show them.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the guys are going to just take them off camera. You're no longer seeing the guys answering the phone. They got rid of that. They're getting rid of everything that kind of made the draft kind of fun.
Then why would you watch it?
Because they don't want you to know who's going next. Yeah, they like, Chris Berman gets the pick before the commissioner, and then Chris Berman tells you who it is before the commissioner, and he can't do that
Chris
anymore.
Berman gets the pick before the commissioner.
Well, yeah, somehow he gets it. When the card goes in, they tell Berman, and then Berman will tell you who it is before the commissioner is. Well, now they've gotten rid of that, where Berman is no longer going to be able to do that.
I guess
because
that,
they want, when the commissioner talks, that it's going to be important.
Well, I guess that makes it more interesting because then Kiper can go, well, I can't believe Janoris Jenkins went 17th.
TV people are sort of like, hey, we got to queue up a package on this guy.
Right.
Tell us who it is ahead of time. And the league is trying to keep it more. Because it is. It's exactly what I said. You can watch for 5 hours or at 11 o'clock. You can go on Pro Football Talk and see who everyone got and who got traded, and you know, you can have a nice night. You know, it's just,
I guess the thing is with the draft, when it's draft time, I'll have it on.
Yeah.
I'm not really paying attention.
Right.
And sometimes I'll switch between NFL and ESPN.
Well, yeah, you got two channels of bullshit to watch.
Right.
Yeah, so.
And Amy just goes, oh my God, there's nothing more exciting than the draft.
Yeah, she's kind of right. I mean, I get it. I get why people like the draft.
Right.
But at the same time, I go, you know, this isn't a game. Like, I watch the playoffs. Like, I'm kind of mental about when the playoffs are on. Mm-hmm. Like, I like to watch all the playoff games. I like to watch every Lions game. But, you know, the draft is not a game to me. It's just...
Sure.
It's,
and you know, of all sports, the NFL is one I will watch non-relevant playoff games more often than I will in something else. Like, I've watched a little bit of the NHL playoffs with, you know, I watched a little bit of the Boston series and thing. I've watched a little bit of it, but not, it's not something
I haven't seen any hockey. I almost always watch the baseball playoffs, no matter who's in them. If I'm home, I don't go out of my way to watch them, but like, if I'm home and there's nothing else on and there's World Series, I probably will watch
it. Yeah, I'm not really watching
I watch all the NFL.
Not really watching the NLDS most of the time.
NBA,
but
generally no, but maybe the finals if it's like a good, if it's, you know.
There have been years I have when the Pistons have not been in the playoffs
where
I have not seen one NBA
game. I know that like last year they were doing the NBA playoffs in 3D.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had ESPN 3D, and I could watch the games in 3D. And so I did that a few times. But actually, my cable provider got rid of the 3D channel. So
good.
So there, be into that.
Well, because there was no content for it.
There really wasn't. But that's why that was exciting, because finally there's live 3D sports, and I would watch the whoever was playing last year.
Yeah,
and it was good. But anyway. All right, let's move into some other things. Do you want to do...
draft coverage. Mel Kiper. Todd McShay.
There they are. Do you want to do Dick Clark died? I mean, I know we haven't had a death pool in
I watched the
years.
Coverage of Dick Clark dying.
Right.
Well, I mean, I'm just recovering from Davy Jones dying.
Yeah.
And, which was sad.
Yeah. Levon Helm died.
Yeah,
which
right,
I only mentioned.
Right.
We talked about the band quite a bit on the last show, which
yeah,
is just because I watched The Last Waltz that week, having nothing to do with the fact that Levon Helm had cancer. I just got the copy of The Last Waltz on Blu-ray and watched it, and then Levon Helm died. So that's another.
I hung out. You know, Amy was out of town, so I went and hung out with some of my friends over the weekend. Yeah. I don't see as much. And I was talking to my friend Roger, and he was like, "Yeah, who gives a shit about the band?"
Oh, well.
And I went, "Well,
if you like good music, you might care about the band." But
you and Roger should really be pals, because he hates stuff almost as much as you do. It's really.
But why would he hate the band? He just is sort of ignorance.
He was just like, it's a hipster thing. That hipsters are all into the band.
You know what? I was into the band before the hipsters got into the band, so I'm fine. You know, like, you know what I mean? Hipster stuff comes and goes.
Yeah.
And maybe the band was cool with hipsters for a while or whatever. Because all that rootsy kind of classic rock, hipsters got into Bruce Springsteen. Hipsters got, because the Arcade Fire got into it, and then, people kind of follow that trend. And the band was sort of part of that, people got into the band for the same reason. And the band made perfectly great, really good music that was somewhat commercially successful, not terribly. And you could say, well, who cares about the band because they weren't popular at the time. And they really weren't all that popular at the time. But if you see That Last Waltz, it's great.
They're one of those bands that's much more influential than they were successful.
Sure, but a lot of those great songs, that Robbie Robertson wrote and...
I love music from Big Pink and the band, their two big albums, and then they had another one.
Oh, they had five, I think. I think they put out five.
And another couple
and
albums.
And then five studio, and then they did The Last Waltz, which is really great, because here's the thing about The Last Waltz, though, that I noticed, was that I really liked, I'm not a Van Morrison fan at all on any level.
Okay.
But the Van Morrison is so great in The Last Waltz. Like, he does one of his songs, and it's great.
What'd you do?
He does Caravan, is that what?
Yeah, okay.
And I go, oh, that's real good when, the band's backing him up.
I like Van Morrison, so.
I'm not a big fan. I mean, he's okay, but I mean, I'm not into it. But I found, I got that Last Waltz CD, and I like the Van Morrison guy. I like the Neil Young on there, too. I'm not a Neil Young guy.
There you go.
I don't know how big of a Neil Young fan you are.
I'm not huge. You know, these are all bands. I like the band. I have those two albums. Yeah. Which are considered the two best albums of the band. And then I haven't really delved. I could, there's some bands where I get every album they have.
Yeah.
That is not the case.
For the band, really, even the band Greatest Hits, which I've been spinning on my MP3 player for the last couple weeks, you can skip some of those tracks. Even on their Greatest Hits,
which
it's
is,
not that
Which is
deep.
Why those two albums don't have a lot of filler.
Yeah.
Yeah. So those are great. Like the night they drove Old Dixie down.
Yeah, and all that stuff was good.
And,
yeah.
You know, Rag Mama Rag and Cripple Creek.
Yeah, all those.
All
are
that
great.
Shit, which Leon Helm sang all
he
those.
He sang all of those, yeah.
They had that. The band had a bunch of different singers, though. So it was like.
Yeah, they had basically three singers.
Danko. Rick Danko sang.
Yeah, Rick Danko and Richard Manuel and Levon Helm were the main.
Which one's the one that's got the really kind of wiry voice?
That's Richard Manuel. He sang in false. Yeah. He sang I Shall Be Released falsetto.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. But he's great in The Last Waltz because he's completely drugged out of his brain.
Okay.
Like they're doing interviews with him and he's just. That's a great movie because Scorsese, for all of, you know, like Scorsese's done some stuff. Like he did that George Harrison thing last year, which I didn't think was very good. And I didn't even really like the Bob Dylan documentary that much, aside from the old footage of Dylan, which I thought was cool. But I thought the rest of it wasn't terribly insightful. But fuck if The Last Waltz isn't great. He fucking made that so good. And there's a commentary on it, and there's a making of on the Blu-ray. And it's like Scorsese really was. But then again, he did this in 77 when Scorsese was truly brilliant, when he was really at the height of his powers.
He was at the peak.
And he shot this movie like... It's amazing.
I'm going to argue with this. Well, I don't think Scorsese has a peak of his powers.
Well, it wasn't the early 80s, really. It wasn't, okay. I mean, it wasn't the mid 80s. So it wasn't the mid 80s. Right, right.
But he made Taxi Driver in 76.
Sure.
Then he made Raging Bull in 80.
In 80, but he did The Last Waltz right before Raging Bull.
And then he made, the movie Goodfellas he made. In 90.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, the guy's always had...
He did the one with... what was the movie he did with the
New
guy?
New York?
No, he did that, which was sort of a commercial bomb. But what was the movie where Griffin Dunne was up all night and...
Oh, that's a great movie.
Yeah, but it was sort of a flop, and, you know, sure. He did... You know what I mean? I'm just saying...
King of comedy.
King of comedy.
Scorsese has occasional valleys, but it's not like...
But I'm saying this was Scorsese when he was doing these music things.
Sure.
Fucking great. I mean, this Last Waltz is shot beautifully, and it's just amazing. Uh-huh. You got to see it. Even if you're not a fan of the band, you probably will be after you see The Last Waltz. So go see that. That's my recommendation.
Well, and it's also one of those all-star celebrity jams.
Yeah, which was big in the 70s.
Even if you don't care about the band that much, you go, hey, look, it's Bob Dylan.
Yeah, Dylan's in it. Dylan, you know, Dylan is just Dylan in it. It's not, to me, I thought the best guest appearances were... We're probably Neil Young in Van Morrison.
Hey, is that Dr. John?
Yeah, Dr. John's on there.
By the way, Dr.
Clapton's
John.
On there.
If I could just take a moment to dork out, and I understand that
Dr. John.
I understand that I ripped on metal. Right,
we're gonna do some, folks, hold on at home.
I understand. Right. I understand I ripped on metal for all you idiots that are out there still pretending you're 14.
It was funny. I liked
it. And I'll continue to rip on metal.
Corey, no, it's
suck it.
A soliloquy on Dr. John.
Dr. John is awesome. he's got a new album out.
Oh, does he?
Really? There's two guys that I love wholeheartedly. Oh. I endorse. And sure, some of Dr. John's stuff's a little... He's had later periods. That's a guy who definitely had...
Okay, go ahead.
That's a guy who definitely had a critical peak where he had about three albums that were magnificent. And then he had a lot of... I'm going to do another Zydeco number.
Yeah.
All right, but he has a new album, and he was on Jimmy Fallon.
Oh.
And he dropped fucking thunder.
All right.
And it was like, you know what I mean? It's like when you see these old, it's kind of like when you see old comics sometimes.
Yeah.
There are old comics, and they get to a certain point where they just can control the room in a way that other guys just cannot. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They've have been doing it for 30 years.
Can I talk about Bruce Springsteen, or are we going
to
go
there?
Oh,
yeah. We'll get to him, sure.
Yeah, sure.
But Dr. John came in, and he's got a new song that kicked ass and was funky and dropped a beat. And that's what's beautiful is when a guy can... And Tom Jones had a new album, like, last year.
Okay.
That was wicked awesome.
Really? I didn't see that. I've seen Tom Jones in concert a couple times.
Yeah.
At festivals for some... And he was great, but I don't have any Tom Jones records.
It's when Tom Jones is not really an album artist. A lot of the time, he's kind of... You could get a couple singles collections or whatever, and...
Uh-huh.
But he had a new album called Praise and Blame that was tremendous, and it was more kind of had a little more hard edge blues kind of gospel-y vibe. He did a song on Letterman that blew the doors off the joint, and like everybody was floored.
Yeah,
and like they all just bowed down to Tom Jones.
Sure,
because Tom Jones has that thing.
You know what I mean? He's like he does. Even like when I saw him in like '92 in England at the Glastonbury Festival. Like,
I banged Britt Eklund at a peak, love.
But he was doing an album of cut. He did Hard to Handle.
Yeah.
And he did Unbelievable by EMF, and he just did these kind of wacky covers. And he did that Kiss was kind of big then. Remember he did the Prince cover?
He did a cover of a song that no one knew was a cover.
Which was what?
It's called If I Only Knew, which was by a band called Rise Robots Rise.
Okay.
Which is one of the most obscure groups I've ever listened to.
Yeah.
But awesome.
All right.
Fucking great stuff. Anyway. All right.
Yeah. So anyway, we were going to talk about Dick Clark, but he's dead. Let's talk about people who are alive.
Dick Clark, you know, Andrew Lug Oldman, who was who found the Rolling Stones and was kind of like their PR guy early on.
Yeah.
He had an interesting sort of take. He's got a great show on Sirius. Because he's been around a billion years, and he can tell you what Marianne Faithfull's pussy smelled like. I mean, you know, he's been around a long time, did drugs with everybody. He's kind of a wacky old dude, and he'll just sit and, you know, rap about stuff. And he kind of slagged off Dick Clark.
Yeah.
And he was one of the only guys. Because everybody lined up.
Yeah.
Everybody formed a big old vanilla daisy chain led by, at the very front, Seacrest.
Yeah.
And Seacrest bent over first to let everybody bone him he boned the corpse of Dick Clark. But everybody lined up to lick the nuts of Dick Clark.
No.
And Dick Clark was, you know, he was a tremendous television, having very little talent. He lasted on television for 50 years.
Yeah.
And he was a very likable personality. He did game shows and blah, blah, blah. But Andrew Lou Goldman's point was that he got a cut of the artists in the music business when he started.
Yeah.
He was involved in payola,
yeah,
which was not illegal at the time.
Sure.
But Alan Freed, who many people consider the most influential DJ, or at least very influential in the foundation of rock and roll, he got busted for payola and run out of the business.
Right.
Dick Clark makes an empire.
Yeah, he did, yeah.
Dick Clark becomes a cultural icon and an institution. He had a deal. Dick Clark would have a deal where he'd get 15% of the band's residuals to play them.
Okay.
I mean, he really, you know, he really was a little bit of a skeezer that sunk his claws.
See, I always thought Dick Clark got rich. What I heard is that Dick Clark got rich really, like, selling, like, buying real estate and stuff. He bought, like...
Yeah, when he took the money he
Southern
got off...
Southern California, you know, real estate, yeah.
When he took the money from the Shirelles on their publishing, he would then go in and buy real estate.
Yeah.
Real estate is, by the way to make money.
Well, it was. I mean, it depends upon where you're buying it, but... Real estate's in the toilet now, but...
Right. The English monarchy, though, the Windsors, their money is all real estate.
Okay.
They own the west coast of England.
Yeah.
They literally own the seashore of England, and that's where their money comes from.
Okay.
They sometime in, like, you know, 1622, they bought all this land, and it's now called, like, the Duchy of Eastland or some shit, that they run, and they own the whole...
Yeah.
That's where their money comes from. And
but
they get
like Dick,
the millions come rolling in.
Dick
off
owned the land that, like, they were installing. This is what they were installing long distance telephone wires. And Dick owned the land, and they had to like pay him like a fee to run their lines through it. And Dick owned bought up all this land, and that's how I heard he got rich. I mean, he did own, like, he owned American Bandstand, and he sort of he wasn't just like the difference between him and some other guys is that he not only hosted the stuff, but he would own the show. And he was the producer, and he produced the American Music Awards, and he produced the Golden Globes and sort of these things.
The late, great Don Cornelius, who just died.
Yeah.
He owned Soul Train.
Sure, yeah.
But of course, you know, being a brother, they wouldn't let the man own anything else.
Well, he owned Soul Train.
They let him own his one show, and that's it.
I think Don Cornelius did all right, but, you know.
But he owned the show.
But, you know, Dick did the $25,000 pyramid, and then he did TV's bloopers and practical
that
jokes
pyramid
and
went
that
from
stuff.
25 all the way up to 100K.
Was it? What was the original, though? The original was 25?
I think the original was
the $10,000 pyramid?
I believe it was the $7 pyramid. And then he stayed on the air. Dr. Joyce Brothers sat there and gave clues.
Well, there was the primetime version was worth more money.
You would go to a... and then you would take...
Beep, beep, beep.
You would take
beep,
from
beep,
this place, you would beep, write out a slip
beep,
of...
Beep, paper.
But to take money out of this place.
Withdrawal.
Yay! Ding, 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 ding. And then Nipsey Russell would sit over there and go, I'm glad to have a career. It's been hard. The IRS took a piece out of my rear.
When they were playing for the money.
Come on, I just did a poem.
That was good.
Fucking poem.
I did it.
And you stepped on it.
I did.
All right, fine. Thank you.
They would do the thing where, like, Dick, like, if the person didn't get it, Dick would say, no, don't turn around yet. Don't turn around yet. Let me just give it. Let me try this. And then Dick would give him, remember that? Like, the guy wouldn't get it, and then Dick would be like, they already lost.
He had to jump in and show how brilliant.
Let me just see.
I know this guy.
Yeah, like, hold on a second.
Hold on.
Yeah. Look,
Look, I'm sorry, Fred Travellino.
Yeah, let me take this.
Fred Travellino is a simp. He couldn't handle a clue. Right. I Dick Clark, will show you.
Yeah, exactly. Right? Look, Audrey Landers, please be quiet. Let me just tell. You know, it was just like some.
These are exactly, by the way, the people that were on there.
Yeah.
These were the celebrities that hosted this fucking thing.
Right.
Billy Crystal would do it sometimes. Yeah. It was really,
look, Fannie Flagg, please be quiet. Let me just get this through. And you know, then Dick would say, don't turn around. Let me try to get you, talk you to what the, you know. Because you had to get all of the categories till you got up to the top of the pyramid.
Look, Cheryl Teagues is a bumpkin, okay? She just fell off a goddamn turnip truck. I know.
I like that. Dick seemed like he cared. Dick was like, he's trying to do his best to help you win.
Somebody would blow $50,000, and then he'd stop and go.
It is kind of dicky because nowadays, if you did that, you really would seem like a dick. But the thing, well, his name was Dick, but
you were looking for Concord grapes.
Like,
I don't know how you couldn't get
Concord
grapes. Yeah,
let me just tell you. Let me just try this.
You were so close.
Yeah.
It was pigeon.
Yeah. He would say this. He would say, okay, now if I had said feathers, would that have gotten you there?
What if I said flying rat? Would that have
What if I said fresh buttered popcorn? Would that? Oh, things you buy in a movie theater.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. Yeah. Oh, see, there it is. And then he'd sit there and he'd stare.
By the way, if you couldn't give
and
the
he'd
clue,
stare at Jamie, you couldn't give and he'd stare at Jamie Farr and go, "You dumb goddamn
this look
camel dragon.
This no, this no account Lebanese prick over here. This greasy." Sand nigger over here just fucked you over.
And Dick would be like, look, I want to give you the $25,000, buddy.
Why did I make Dick Clark just...
Because he did that. There was sort of a backhandedness to that, where, like, if you had just done this, you were so close, and I could have helped
Dick
you.
Dick Clark was America's uncle, and I'm thinking violent racist in the outside.
Well,
the, right?
I don't know. I mean, Dick did that, and, you know, he was always a guy who never wanted to offend anybody, and so he sort of was milquetoast and sort of, you know. And then, of course, the jokes were that, you know, he looked... He was the youngest looking man until
now.
You know,
how did he do that? Was it young
teenager.
Pussy? Was he just banging the girls on Manson?
I don't know what he got.
Because we, as we all know,
I think he was filthy rich, and I think that keeps you young. I think somehow
did he bathe
being,
in cocoa butter or some
I think
shit.
Somehow,
I don't know.
Being filthy rich and not worrying about shit.
I'm thinking.
And those shows. How much did he really put into those shows? You know what I mean? Like we put stuff into this dumb show that pays us no money. Imagine if we were working on a primetime show, we'd be busting our ass.
Did you? Which one was? Was it in Bowling for Columbine or was it in which Michael Moore documentary?
Yeah, I think it was Bowling for Columbine. The woman.
Was a Dick Clark. The Dick Clark American
Bandstand
Cafe.
I watched that recently. Yeah, I'll
and
tell you what happened.
They were bussing in people from Flint, right?
Yeah, and they were going to work at the Great Lakes Crossing Mall, which is here, like in Auburn Hills, Michigan. And the idea is, he found Dick Clark and said, hey, why are you paying this lady only, you know, $5 an hour to come work at your cafe? She's got to take the bus, and she should be home with her children, and she's got to take a bus. And it was really sort of not fair at all to Dick Clark.
It wasn't, but you get the impression. I thought that was a little cheap, but on the
and
other hand.
Dick goes like, hey, get out of here. You know, Dick kind of got pissed.
But on the other hand, I feel like that's the kind of thing Dick Clark was probably in a lot of.
Well,
he probably had a lot of businesses.
He didn't realize
that
was
he was running cheap.
Yeah.
No, it's not even, I don't think it was malicious, it's just that's the way you run a business.
Well, Dick slapped his name on some restaurant in Auburn Hills, Michigan, probably never visited the fucking thing.
Right, sure.
And you know, took a check home from it every week, and yet it was sort of
much like he
slave
bought,
wages.
Much like he bought a useless dirt lot somewhere where they had to run a power line through.
Yeah.
And then made money.
That was it. And there was a lot of stuff, too. I know recently he was, like, selling off real estate. He owned, like, 3 homes in Malibu. And he had a house that literally is like the Flintstones house.
Yeah.
It's the if you look it up online, you'll see it. It's like there's a Flintstones. It looks like a piece of rock was carved out. And it was on like some bluff in Malibu. And it was like a one bedroom house.
Yeah.
And it was the craziest looking thing you ever saw. So he had all kinds of crazy real estate.
A couple years ago we were over at we have friends that are, you know, we have some European friends that were living here while he was working for GM. Anyway, she's British, and her parents were visiting for, like, Christmas and New Year's. And they were having a Christmas party, and her dad, great guy, the kind of guy you'd hang out at the pub with. But Dick Clark came, and he's like, who's this old buzzard?
Yeah.
And I had to explain who Dick Clark was. And I went, wow, I realize there's people who don't know who Dick Clark is outside of America. Because there's no reason he'd be famous.
England's got their old Jimmy Savile.
Jimmy Savile,
You never heard of rid of them.
Jim will fix it. I mean, but, you know, unfortunately, I know a lot of that stuff. Although, Brits will often bring...
There's going to be guys you don't know. They're old.
Like, I know Morecam. What were the
Morecam and Wise.
Morecam and Wise. Yeah. I mean, there's some British things I get, but then people go, did you remember Archie Dicton? Oh, yes. Right, like, old Archie Dicton.
Like,
and
we'll know.
Oh, right.
Americans will know, like, Benny Hill.
Right.
But then there was a guy who was as big as Benny Hill who never came over here, and you don't know him.
Right.
Yeah. Like, we'll know Python, but not the other fucking thing that was on that was
sure,
big.
Sure.
That, like, you know, whoever, the goons and stuff, Americans won't know.
Yeah.
But they'll know
Python. Don't know about Dad's Army.
Yeah, see? That's,
no.
I don't even know what that
is. Sorry. Right, sure.
All right, let's move along here. Dick Clark is dead. We said Levon Helm died. Mike Wallace died, who I think we both kind of liked Mike Wallace, although he was a douche nozzle, too, in his own way. And
well, he produced that turd son, Chris.
you're blaming him for that?
Yeah, he did. You're a little responsible for your children.
I understand.
He produced that no-account douche over there on Fox, Chris
Wallace. Come on, Chris Wallace hosts hosts a fucking roundtable show. He's hardly the enemy.
But, I'm just goofing.
All right.
But
Mike Wallace was sort of known as this, you know, we talked about Michael Moore. He sort of was almost the precursor to that. He was just very confrontationalism.
Sensationalist.
You know, the gotcha interview is really something he pioneered.
But I'll be goddamned, I was a kid and I would watch 60 Minutes and go, this is great.
Because those reporters made it interesting.
Yeah.
And they didn't fuck around. They got right. Here's the thing about 60 Minutes that I always liked. And when I talk about 60 Minutes in general, so much of that, it was the prototype that Wallace really created that I think it applies, is that when you watch 60 Minutes, they get right to the fucking point. You ever watch Dateline?
Well, they don't have time.
The Dateline will fucking tickle your ass with the fucking goddamn fucking feather for a fucking hour. They will sit there and blow fucking sunshine up your
butthole. But you know what the thing
about
is,
something, and 60 Minutes right to the point.
But those are two different crafts.
I understand that.
Dateline, okay. 60 Minutes is attempting to inform you about a person.
And that's what I respect about it.
A person, a situation, an artist, a scientific discovery, or a financial problem. They're trying to illuminate your world.
Exactly.
They're throwing light on a problem. Dateline is scaring you by saying you could meet a guy online and you could think you knew him.
Yeah.
But do you really know him?
Well, yeah. Let's say, for the sake of argument, there's poison in grape juice or something. Let's just say that. If 60 Minutes was doing the report, they'd come right on, and the first thing you'd hear out of the reporter's mouth, that's an interesting subject, they'd have some expert, they go, is there poison in the orange juice? And that would be the first thing, in the grape juice, whatever. You watch Dateline, they would say, is there something in your refrigerator that could be killing you? Our investigation. And then they go through a whole thing, and they never tell you it's grape juice, and they never fucking tell you this until you're three segments in, and you're like, what the fuck, man? And it's so annoying, and it's just like, get to the goddamn point.
Because 60 Minutes is trying to...
Well...
They're trying to get you to watch the show by telling you something.
Well, good.
Dateline's trying to get you to watch the
show. Then I respect Mike for that. I respect Don Hewitt, their original producer.
Sure, Morley Safer.
I think they gave him the axe a couple years ago, the Don Hewitt. But
he died. He passed away.
Oh, did he pass away? But I think they did shit can him before he died, too. But
The 60 Minutes, those guys were all in their 50s when the show started.
They were in their 50s and the 60s. Yeah,
right.
But
you know what? And Mike, whatever. People always go, this is exactly the thing I was complaining about off air. People take themselves a little too seriously sometimes as journalists.
Sure.
And they all act like they're unimpeachable. Yeah. By the way, Edward R. Murrow, who everybody holds up as the greatest journalist, the titan of journalism, the guy sat there with a smoke and fucking milked that shit, right? Right? And he used to do these reports, he got famous during the Blitz.
Yeah.
And he'd do reports from the roof in London. Don't tell me he didn't make some of that shit up.
Well.
In terms of, he didn't make up the details, but he made up the
what
you call optics.
Yeah.
He created the notion, the theme.
He set the
which
theme.
Is what a fucking reporter does.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. Here's the difference between like Edward R. Murrow or any of these guys. Or who's the other guy? Walter Cronkite or these guys. They would be telling you the news, and they would tell it in a way that was interesting. It kept your attention.
Mm-hmm.
And nowadays, the people know the news before they get the news. So people know there was a tsunami in Japan before Brian Williams talks about the tsunami. So in a sense, you can't do the same kind of...
Well, news is no longer...
Do it the same kind of
right.
way.
News is no longer about immediately imparting the news information. It's about providing context
to
the information.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
And that's what I think Brian Williams is trying to do. Sure. And all those kind of shows.
But so it's very easy to dump on those guys because you go, well, who needs Brian Williams when I can just pull up Yahoo and read the news?
Well, you're right. It's the same thing with the NFL stuff you were talking about.
Yeah, it's the same thing.
Yeah, I could just go and read who, you know.
And that's why they're trying to make the show more dramatic in the draft so you'll stay tuned versus going, well, I'll have my phone sitting next to me and I'll watch The Office tonight.
Well, increasingly what the draft becomes about is then going, well, who did Mel Kiper say they should have picked?
Yeah.
And then what did Mel Kiper say when they did pick?
Nah.
They picked a left guard when he said that they needed a wide receiver. Yeah. That it then becomes about that crap or Todd McShay or insert name of Slappy here.
All right. So we got to do some movie. I didn't get to talk about Bruce Springsteen, but I went to the Bruce Springsteen concert the other night here in Detroit at the Palace
Big
of
Morley,
Auburn.
Morley Safer was a big Bruce Springsteen.
Oh, was he really? I don't know.
Mike Wallace.
Rooney would be at
Mike Wallace took 3 months out in 1978.
Did he? Really? He was on the Darkness tour?
Yeah,
he was.
I followed him.
But anyway, I hadn't seen... I was a big Bruce Springsteen fan. I'll tell you when I got into Bruce Springsteen. In 1986, when they released the live 1975 to 85 box set.
Wow.
Which was one of the first, you know, I had just gotten...
is there an old man band you're not
all right,
into?
But listen
is
to
there...
me. Would you shut up?
As I'm sitting here, I'm looking like at this Beach Boys
I bought
thing.
You a
know,
Beach Boys book at the used bookstore the other day, you fucking ungrateful
prick. Thank you. I appreciate
prick.
That.
And by the way, when they tour, you're going to be sitting in the front row watching those guys in their diapers.
Jesus.
With 50 goddamn musicians behind them.
Those guys are all older than they're all older than our dads.
They really they're are. Really super so old. I mean, Springsteen's 62. But, you know, I didn't see, anyway, so I was into Springsteen in 86, and I never went to a show until, now granted, in the 90s, Springsteen made a lot of kind of lousy records. He fired the E Street Band, he made a couple solo records, he toured solo, and people didn't even, and then he did the Pete Seeger sessions, and people didn't like that either, so he sort of had his ups and downs with even his most diehard of fans. But a lot of the reasons I never went to a Bruce Springsteen show is that I could never either afford the ticket or get the ticket. And for whatever reason, I just decided to track the Detroit show on the last week before. And it was on a Thursday night. And I said, well, you know what? I think I can probably go on a Thursday because, you know, I didn't have to work. My girlfriend. So I was just going to be going by myself because my girlfriend had to work. And I could go to Springsteen. Let me see if there's a cheap ticket on StubHub or something. Mm-hmm. So I tracked that for like 3 days and I got a behind the stage ticket for Bruce. Which, you know, you go behind the stage and that's kind of shitty because, you know, everyone's facing the other way. But I was really close to the stage. Like, I was, you know, I don't know how many rows up I was, 10 rows or something. Like, behind the stage. I was, like, way closer than I'd be in the upper deck at the far end of the stadium, you know what I mean? And it was great, and I loved it. And I went by myself and had a fucking rocking time, and I sort of rediscovered all the stuff I like. And, you know, I think his new album's real good, Wrecking Ball. So if you want to check that out, that's a good record. So,
So he still brought the
And I'll tell you, he was right. He did a 3-hour and 10-minute show.
Mm-hmm.
And he, like, never took a break. He did an encore without leaving the stage. And, you know, he crowd surfed. He went all the way out into the center of the palace. And then crowd surfed his way all the way back. And all this stuff is on YouTube, too, because he kind of does these things. And he ran around, and it was amazing. He really never stops. It's kind of great. He really is an amazingly energetic performer. Like, I saw McCartney last year, and McCartney does a great show. He does, like, a 3-hour show, too. But, you know, Paul's working hard, but he ain't working hard like Bruce is working hard. Bruce is jumping up in the air. It's pretty crazy. It's pretty amazing. He definitely is into it.
Now,
it's
in tribute to Mike Stoney Stone.
Oh, yes.
Joel now has a new proviso in his contract that we will not do the
explain
podcast.
Explain that, because I was talking to somebody about that.
Mike Stone's a local radio host here as a sports radio guy.
By the way, I'm turning around only to make this even douchier. So
okay,
go ahead.
Okay, good.
You tell this conversation.
And,
this is funny,
and
yeah.
Mike Stone, he used to be on Stoney and Wojo in the afternoons. He's now on the morning show at 97.1, the sports station here. He has a contract rider. I don't know if he still has it, but he did at WDFN. Where if Bruce Springsteen played within 300 miles, he could take the day off and go to the show.
Yeah, that's the idea. Yeah,
and he would go to like the Cleveland show and the Columbus show, and maybe Toronto and Chicago. What? Maybe it was 500 miles. Or whatever. It was within a certain amount of miles.
No. Well, he does. And I know a guy who knows Stoney a little bit. And when I told him I went to Springsteen, he goes, "Oh yeah, did you see Stoney? He's at every show." And he's got to go here, and I go, oh, okay, cool, you know. So anyway, you're right. There's this guy. He's a big local.
My thing about that is, How can you go to every show?
Well, here's the thing. Bruce changes the set list, and, like, he'll take, like, if you bring a sign for a request, like, he'll throw out whatever he was going to play, and he'll play the request. Mm-hmm. He'll play stuff from his first album that came out in 72.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he really is amazing. But anyway, so Stoney, you're right about this guy, Mike Stone. I found this video. This is on a website called Bruce Base. The Bruce Springsteen database. So they you know, these people, they track every show, and I found a video. I'm going to just play this through the look who's rocking out at the Springsteen. I'm trying to get the audio for you. So of course there's a video that he put up about him watching the Springsteen show. And you're going to see him sing. That's what I want. Let me get it to where Bruce is actually kicked in. Because you're going to see Stoney sing along in a minute, Corey. I know this is...
Really?
Oh, yeah.
This is riveting radio.
Well, right? I thought for you anyway. I know people at home. Well, they'll get to hear him sing Badlands. That's good. That's key. There you go.
There's Stoney singing along, Corey. There you go.
Wow.
Stoney singing Badlands.
This is where it frightens me, though.
And by the way, this is in Cleveland, so he did take the day off and went to the Quicken Loans Arena in Cleveland for the show.
He had pretty good seats.
Yeah, he's in the upper section. It looks like front row of the upper section.
He's on the side.
He's on the side, but Springsteen has like an open stage layout. That's why it was cool where I was sitting, because I could see right between Max and Roy and look right down on Bruce and Steve Van Zandt.
Here's the thing, though.
Right.
We don't
need to watch
even
anymore,
okay. Like even bands I loved. Right. Okay.
Yeah.
The Pixies.
Sure.
And I've seen the Pixies four or five times. But I'm not going to go see them the next day.
That's true.
Some people went to both Pixie shows here in Detroit,
I'm guessing they had the identical.
And the problem with the Pixies, they don't have a catalog like Bruce Springsteen.
Right.
So they're going to play every song they've ever had.
Yeah.
And they're not doing new songs. So you're like, I whatever. Even bands that Pavement or shit like that.
Yeah,
I'm not gonna feel the need to go. That was a great Pavement show. Let me go drive to Indianapolis.
Yeah, I did that when they were active, and I went to the Pavement reunion tour, Columbus. But I get what you're saying. Some bands, they kind of do the same thing every night, and when you see it, you see it. And Bruce, he tells story. It really is a good show, and it's just fun, and you kind of want to do it again when you've done it once. It's hard to explain until you're there, but it is a good time. I'm trying to work out.
You know what? It's when I see Mike Stone singing along to every word of Badlands,
it makes you not
clapping. It speaks to religiosity.
Yeah, well, there is an element of that.
And that's something
sure.
I can't stand.
Yeah, there is an element of that.
There's nothing I hate more than religiosity.
Well, here's the thing about Bruce. Even if you don't know the songs, you'd probably still really enjoy the show because it's fun. And he does some Motown covers, and it's really like he brings people into it. Even if you're not a huge fan and you don't know all the words, people like the row behind me was a bunch of 20 somethings. Who stood up and high-fived each other the whole time, which I thought was kind of ridiculous. Mm-hmm. And then there was a 70-year-old couple sitting next to me who left before Thunder Road. And I'm like, what the fuck are you doing? He was doing the encore. They're like, yeah, we're out of here. And I was just like, all right, more room for me to fuck around. Anyway, so Bruce was good. I'm trying to get tickets for he's doing two shows at Wrigley Field in September. So the first one went on sale, and I didn't get in on that because I was teaching a comedy class when the tickets went on sale, unfortunately.
Oh, jeez.
But the second one goes on sale in a couple weeks, so I'm going to be attempting to go to Wrigley Field in September to see Bruce again. So that'll be good anyway.
Well, I'm going to go see Cinematic Titanic debuting a new movie.
Oh.
July 5th.
They're saying a new movie. These are the guys that did...
the Mystery Science Theater.
And what do you mean by a new movie? Like a new old movie?
Right. Oh, they're just doing a new one. Oh, or a new... You know, it's an... Whatever. It's an old movie, but it's the first time they've done it.
Okay, well, that's cool. People like those guys. There seems to be more of that kind of stuff and more...
Now, but that's even weirder because there are people... And I'm a big Mystery Science fan, and I have gone to... There's two groups.
Right.
There's Rift Tracks and Mystery Science.
Oh,
or Rift Tracks and Cinematic
Titanic.
It's
a blood feud.
Not really, but they've split into two groups.
They've split because who? What is the producer or the writers went one way and the host went another way?
Yeah,
how did that, what happened?
Yeah. One's there were two hosts, Joel and Mike.
Okay.
And so the two hosts have different groups.
Oh,
and then a couple of the writers, you know. So
yeah, sure.
There were so many people that worked on that show over the years that they have. Riff Tracks is just three guys, and the other one's like five. But anyway, but I'll go see them do the new movie. But like. I know people that go and see every show of them, and they repeat the movies.
Oh, okay, yeah.
You know what I mean?
So they kind of know their lines a little bit.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
They
yeah.
might riff a little bit, but sure. they have scripted dialogue.
Sure.
And so you're going to sit there and watch. I couldn't do that.
Right, right, right.
I couldn't go, well, you know, it was better when I saw in Bridgeport, Connecticut, when they did Alien Factor. It was much better than when I saw them in yeah. Minnetonka, Minnesota.
Yeah.
And so the Bruce Springsteen thing to me, I'd go see him.
Right.
But didn't see him
well,
night.
You could go see him once, but you know, you may want to go see him again after you've seen him once. So that's the thing. That's what you don't know. But I actually recommend if you just like rock and roll and you want to see somebody, because you know, Bruce is old, but he's not as old as, you know, like the Beach Boys will, you know, be this summer where, you know.
Oh, that's gonna be crazy.
That's gonna be super, you know, that's
mm-hmm.
But you know the Beach Boys, they got.
I'll be honest though, I saw James Brown and Little Richard.
Right, those okay exceptions. Yeah, definitely those guys.
And they were every bit as old. As,
oh yeah, absolutely.
And this was probably 15 years
yeah.
ago, but they were every bit as old as Bruce Springsteen is yeah. now. And I went, holy
and,
shit!
Yeah.
Now, okay, granted, Little Richard had dancers,
sure,
and James had the Soul Generals.
Yeah,
band,
yeah, yeah.
And there'd be a couple long breaks where the Soul Generals would play.
Yeah.
Because James went back in the oxygen tent and sat down or whatever. I don't know. But I went, holy shit.
Yeah.
These old guys are still bringing
well,
it.
Well, James Brown always had that reputation
right.
of being, you know, the hardest working man in yeah. show business. And you know, like Chuck Berry still plays shows. He's in his 80s.
Jesus Christ.
I mean, I've seen some Chuck Berry clips and it's not.
Chuck Berry's going to have those crazy. Like, you talk about Dick Clark not aging.
Yeah.
If you look at, like, Hail, Hail, Rock and Roll.
He's old in that. And
he's
that
old
was,
in that and he looks great.
That was 25 years ago, mm-hmm. I think that was 87.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Rock and rolls.
I mean.
It's terrible. Yeah, but, you know, some of those guys, man, they just don't, they can still do it.
Chuck Berry's just a genetic freak.
Yeah, but he is not the same guy,
like,
though.
If you
yeah.
look at Jerry Lee Lewis.
Yeah.
Looks like shit.
Chuck Berry doesn't look great. I'm not saying Chuck Berry's.
No, but.
He looks great for 82. But he doesn't look great
well,
for Chuck
off,
Berry.
First off, black don't crack.
I agree.
Bruce is holding up really well.
Bruce
for,
is holding
he's
up.
He's still kind of muscular. And
he is,
still,
yeah, yeah, Bruce yeah, is, yeah. Bruce is good. That whole band's in pretty good shape, aside from the two guys that died. Well, you know, Clarence was like 7 years older than the rest of those guys. So Clarence was 70 or 69 when he had a stroke mm-hmm. and died. So, and then the other guy got cancer, Danny Federici. But, you know, Steve Van Zandt and... you know, Max Weinberg are still out there doing it.
There you go.
Still doing it well. Anyway, let's move along. Let's get to movies.
All right,
wrap the show.
This is going
to
be the big conclusion.
Do you want to do the Avengers, or should I do these
other
movies
first? Let's do the Pirates, because
we both saw Pirates Band of Misfits in 3D. Did you see it in 3D?
I did see it in 3D.
Yeah, and the 3D was okay, but I mean, I don't know.
The 3D is marginal, but I would say that in animated movies, particularly claymation movies, the 3D does sort of
it
add...
It sort of, yeah, it adds something.
It does add a little depth to it.
Yeah, it does sort of feel like you're on a stage with these giant
puppets
sort of, yeah.
Weird, which is weird.
But, you know, the movie...
Coraline was particularly good at the 3D.
Yeah, I did see that in 3D, too.
This one not as much, but it adds a little
dimension. It was fine. You know, I mean, the movie is exactly what you think it's going to be. If you think it's going to be, like, this hilarious, riotous comedy, it's not really... It's kind of for kids, and it's kind of not. It's kind of has this weird fine line of like, well, kids can enjoy it, but it's a little bit over their heads, and adults can like it, but it's kind of dumb. It's got what that thing going for it. So, I don't know. I kind of feel like anything Pirates is always sort of a ripoff of the Johnny Depp movies at this point. It's a little bit of a cash in. Like,
yeah,
hey, Pirates
well,
are hot,
well,
let's just make a pirate movie.
It is claymation, so who knows how long it took them to make this.
I actually read an interview with the guy, and it wasn't that long. Like, they've gotten it done. Like, you know, they're not even clay anymore, those guys.
Right.
They're rubber or whatever.
Okay.
So, anyway. They're rubber, and then they, like, their mouths are, they have different mouths that they change in and out.
Okay.
To make
but they're still
clay.
A rubber doll.
They're
on
still
an
a rubber doll, honest. It's not CGI. Some of them, they'll add CGI for, like, the water around the pirate ship with CGI.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, there are still things. It's fine. I wouldn't rush. You know, if you're a big Aardman fan, then I guess go see it. I mean, it's not like, you know, but I don't know that this is, you know, I'm giving it, you know, 3 out of 5 fingers on the Corey and Joel scale.
I would have to agree with you.
I mean, it's fine. It's just not, you know, it's not,
mm-hmm.
It's not the greatest thing you ever saw. They used a Flight of the Conchord song in it, and that was funny.
Okay.
Which, you know, but I mean, it's Flight of the Conchord.
They did have a Flight of the Conchord song.
They do funny songs, so.
And it was actually just a straight-up Flight of the Conchord song. It wasn't like a new one.
No, they used it one from the show.
That's raining on my face. I'm not crying. Yeah, I'm not crying.
I'm not crying. So that was fun. So that was all right. Anything else on Pirates, or should we move along?
No, it's got a lot of it's got Hugh Laurie and Martin Freeman and
yeah, there's a lot of
who else did the voices?
Well, Hugh Grant is the lead guy.
No, Hugh Laurie, the guy.
No,
from
it's
House.
Hugh Grant. It's actually Hugh
is
Grant.
Is it Hugh Grant really?
Yeah, it actually is Hugh Grant. It's not Hugh Laurie.
Never mind.
I thought maybe Hugh Laurie was in there somewhere.
He probably was.
The funniest thing is the monkey butler who doesn't even stalk. I thought the monkey butler's funny in that. But anyway. Yeah. There's a lot of names. Martin Freeman people. The guy looks like Martin Freeman.
They drew
the puppet.
They made the puppet look like Martin Freeman. One thing, and this is a minor complaint I had. They didn't have names. They were like, I know it was the joke.
The pirate captain was called Pirate
right.
Captain.
He was just yeah. called the Pirate Captain.
And the second was
and
the
it was
second.
Like the pirate, the scarf. Yeah. Yeah. And I went, that's funny. One time,
the curvaceous pirate.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Which was a girl that had a fake beard.
Big beard. Yeah.
It's kind of funny one time, and Charles Darwin's in it, but like Charles Darwin, they call Charles Darwin.
Yeah.
And that, Queen Victoria.
I like the Charles Darwin thing. Queen Victoria, eh.
And the other pirates had names.
Yeah, it was okay.
You know what? That Queen Victoria, we would care more if we were British. We would think that was hilarious.
I bet that was, whoa.
Much like Battle Pope must be just hilarious to Catholics or scandalous or something. You know what I mean? Whereas I could give a fuck. I go, hey, the Pope is fighting crime. That's no stupider than Spider-Man.
Well, I mean, I'd be ruining the show if I comment. I'm ruining the movie, but you know, it's like you knew she was gonna want to eat the fucking thing when they found. Like,
sure.
Just right away.
Okay, spoiler.
The dodo bird. I mean, come on, give me a fucking break. You knew that.
You just spoiled the whole movie.
I mean,
movie.
The show. It's a little juvenile, but anyway. Okay. Speaking of juvenile,
it's a kids' movie.
Let me review the next movie, if I may. I don't think you saw it, but Disney's Chimpanzee came out over the weekend, and.
Yes, sir.
Me and my girlfriend willingly went to that and paid our money, and it's pretty good. Here's the problem with it, because here's one thing. The greatest thing about it is they got shots of chimpanzees. You don't even know how they got them. They like, hid cameras and stuff, and, like, they just go out. Because the end credits is sort of the making of Chimpanzee, and they just kind of went out, and I don't know if they used they put, like, wires between trees. And, like, did tracking shots that way. And they got all kinds of shots of chimpanzees and, like, super close-ups. Mm-hmm. Where you just go, I don't know how they got these. Because it's really amazing. And, it's digitally projected. So you're getting all kinds of detail. Like, you've never seen chimpanzees look better on a screen than this movie. It's amazing. But the one problem this movie has is there's a story that goes on. And the story is there's a baby chimp named Oscar. And the baby chimp has a mother, and the mother, something happens to the mother, and the baby chimp starts.
And Oscar is hooked on crystal meth.
And Oscar has to sell himself for money. And it's
times is hard in the jungle. I had to do what I had
but,
to do.
I mean,
do.
It's almost like every Disney movie. It's the Lion King where, you know, the father's gone. And but it's real, you know.
Did they take Oscar on a Maury Povich and do a pregnancy test to see which baby chimps were his?
The mother... Okay, you're missing the point. Okay.
I know what it is.
What's that?
In Chimpanzee, they show you the ugly chimpanzee naked, not the hot ones.
No, that was, well, you know what? I think you see, there's lots of chimpanzee balls and butthole in this, so don't think you're
There's a couple really hot lady chimps, yeah. But they only show you the old tubby one.
But the problem with this movie is it has a narration by Tim Allen, and that's not the problem that Tim Allen
that's
did it.
That's a problem.
The problem is that they
no, that's
wrote...
That's a problem.
It really isn't when you see it, but they wrote this movie... They gave it like a cartoon almost storyline. So they showed the chimpanzees hunt, like feeding. And what they do is they would get nuts and they would like smash them open with rocks. And it's interesting to watch. But rather than doing it in sort of a BBC documentary kind of way,
they
would say,
here's sticked it up.
The chimpanzees feeding. They're like, oh, it's breakfast time for Oscar and the chimps. Oh, who's going to get the biggest nut? Mama won't give her... Look at Mama. She gives baby her nuts, but not after Mama gets her own. And they just kind of wrote this, like, real juvenile...
Oh, that's right. Mama's going to give baby her nuts. Come on in. It's back to the hour. It's all right. It's 4:39
it's, you know
here
I mean?
At the top
like,
of the
it's
show.
It's like, you know, it's like... if the, you know, it they wrote it in ways that they sort of made everything relatable to humans. Like, now it's breakfast time, and, oh, it's bedtime. Time to tuck the baby in. Oh, look at that comfortable bed that mama's made.
I'm already out. I don't know.
They had done it in sort of more of a, they don't explain what the chimpanzees are doing in any sort of scientific way. They explain it in, like, a very, like, child's sort of book in a way. And I thought that was sort of, it sort of talks down to the audience. And granted, they do pitch this movie to kids. And I guess that makes gets the kids more involved. And part of my bullshit detector kind of went up with this whole Oscar story and, you know, getting adopted and there's rival chimpanzees and stuff. But I did feel at the end that what did happen, what they did show is really what did happen in the movie. What they showed happen in the movie is probably what happened in real life.
Now,
I could have lived without, you know, Tim Allen going, oh, look, the monkeys have their tools. You know, doing that. You know, he does
did
that.
Did he do that?
He did that at one point. Like, for
all
one
right,
bit,
I'm out.
For one bit in the movie, he did that just as sort of a wink to the audience.
Well, you know, what's great about Chimpanzee is I'll never see it.
It's great. You know what? It's really good. You'd like it, but
you know, sometimes there's movies that I miss. I can't see every movie. I see hundreds of movies.
It was good.
And this one I missed, and I'll never see it. And that's okay.
Chimpanzee's fun. I'd give it 4 out of 5 fingers, so I'm giving this a good thumbs up.
Okay, all right.
But I just think that if they hadn't written it that way, it'd be more like something like Planet Earth or something, which isn't what they were going for. They were going
You don't need to have wacky comedy inserted into your animal documentary.
It's not just wacky comedy. It's like, you know, the chimpanzees don't think like humans think. They have their own ways. They're animals, and so they don't think about things the way we think about them. And I wish I could give better examples of it, but you'll know it right away when you see it that this narration...
Unfortunately, this movie was not made for chimpanzees. It was made for humans.
It's like they give it a narration that is right out of like a kindergarten. Like, if you were reading a book to a kid, this is what you would want to read it this way, rather than telling him, you know... Yeah, you know, these monkeys are trying to kill each other because that's what fucking chimpanzees do. But no, they got a whole, you know, that's how I would explain it. Look, you see that? You see the chimp died? That's what happens.
Yeah.
Well, here's the thing. Well, the chimps, they go out hunting. And, you know, Tim Allen says, you know, at one point, he goes, well, you know, the chimps are omnivores, just like us. They're going hunting. Let's see what they're hunting for. And they're trying to kill, like, little monkeys. And, like, they get a monkey and they eat it. And they show one shot of, like, fur being ripped. And then they just hide the whole monkey being eaten. I'm like, show me the monkey being eaten. I can take it. I mean, it's a pretty goddamn cute monkey to eat.
But, you know, 6-year-olds can't take it.
Yeah,
so,
I know. So that's the thing about this. A little bit of I've taken some points off because they dumbed it down for kids. Other than that, chimpanzee's pretty amazing.
All right,
so
two
like
fairly
it.
Positive reviews of children's movies. Now, what else do we have?
Well, the biggest children's movie of all is about to come out, and Corey's got an exclusive
review.
That is
very true.
Go ahead, Corey Hall, a 37-year-old man who still loves shit that's written for 8-year-olds. Go! Nah, I'm busting your balls.
No, but you know,
I'm busting your balls. I like some of those comic book movies too.
But it's an interesting point about the Avengers, which is the film I will be discussing now.
Go ahead. You got 15 minutes.
Which our target demo of 18 to 45 year olds will do. Oh, this will be done quicker than that.
I'm sure it will.
Hulk smash. Everybody go home happy. Thank
really?
You.
Yeah.
No, it's too long.
Is it? How long? Give me a time, rough.
It's about 2.5.
But isn't that what Iron Man was in some of these? Yeah.
Yeah. What? Please.
Okay.
2 hours is and I'm good, right? That's.
I think
enough.
2 hour you're good, but chimpanzee 1 hour and 17 minutes. So
good have times.
Fun. Have fun with
that's
that.
That's my kind of
there
movie.
There you go.
God knows how long this one I'm going to watch tonight is, but 85 minutes. No, it's. Some movies belabor the point too much.
They did,
and I guess if there's a certain if people are going to go pay to go see a movie in 3D, they want a whole experience. Yeah. They want a little something extra.
Is Avengers in 3D too?
Yes. Here's the two complaints I have about the film. Yeah. It's too long. We have a little bit too. It's a little repetitive in the exposition department where we go, there's a threat, and then we go, hey, there's a threat again. You know, we get the message. Loki is bad.
Yeah.
We are. If you saw the thing about this movie is, all this pre-work was done in the other films.
Sure.
So you don't really need to get that much background.
Right. The backstory is in Captain America
and Thor and Iron
Thor
Man.
And Iron Man. So
right.
What more do you need?
You don't need much. So they don't do a lot of it, but even the one they did pads the running time.
Hmm.
And the 3D adds exactly fucking nothing. Right? In fact...
Yeah, I don't know how they did this.
In fact, in certain scenes, there's scenes where Loki's like in space or up in some kind of weird Asgardian thing. It actually darkens the image.
And it gets... Yeah.
Yeah. I found the same problem with Wrath of the Titans, where they were in a maze underground, and I would be taking the... I would take the glasses off because I'd go, this image is too dark.
You can't do dark movies in 3D. People are figuring that out. Tron
right, which
Legacy.
Which is why there's never been a Tyler Perry movie.
It was
3D.
Horrible. Hey, now.
Oh, da 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 da.
Yeah.
Da 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 da.
So, Avengers, give us.
Dago in the schnoz, making jokes.
But I feel like Avengers is like maybe. There's, are they trying to give, well, do they give the characters equal face time, or is there a lead Avenger? How does this work?
I think Iron Man is kind of the lead in that he's the most interesting.
Okay.
And they write, I mean, they're consistent with, if you saw the other movies, they're consistent with how they were portrayed in the other movies.
Yeah.
Jeremy Renner's boring.
What is he?
He's Hawkeye.
Okay.
And he's like a sniper.
Okay.
That's his power. He's like a super sniper. And he uses bows and arrows that blow up. So, really, he's hanging out with fucking Thor. So, really, that guy's not already unessential.
Yeah.
But they kind of go, here, you stand up top and scout everything and shoot stuff from up high, which is what you do with a sniper. But anyway, in the comics, that character is kind of a wisecracker.
Mm.
He's sort of, you know, he's kind of the brash guy who makes a lot of jokes. And they kind of gave that part to Iron Man. So...
Oh.
Hawkeye is kind of, it's basically Jeremy Renner playing the guy from the Hurt Locker with a bow and arrow. So that character's kind of boring. They did decently with Scarlett Johansson. They did as much as they could do to make her interesting.
Yeah.
Downey kicks ass. He's really funny. Chris Evans is good as Captain America. The guy who plays Thor is surprisingly good, and they play that all well.
Yeah.
I wish that they had kept Ed Norton in the movie, but he was such a prick.
Ed Norton Hulk.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ed Norton did the Hulk movie that more people liked. They didn't like the first one.
Right. And do they try to carry on from that Hulk movie? But there wasn't, I don't know, that Hulk movie kind of ended and it was...
Yeah, they don't...
It kind of stood alone, even though Iron Man showed up at the end. Tony Stark showed up at the end of Hulk, but...
Right.
That was their first crossover, right?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Yeah, because Hulk was before Iron Man 2, so yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then Sam Jackson will show and walk up in cameos and all these.
Yeah, he was in Iron Man 2.
So they did a pretty decent job.
Captain America.
So they had Mark Ruffalo as Dr. Banner.
Okay.
Kind of, he was trying, but he's just not as interesting an actor as Ed Norton.
Sure.
So I think, you know, that suffered a little bit. Edward Norton would be a little more, he would have added a little more tension.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. You could see him and Downey fighting each other.
I think the Hulk thing is boring anyway, so I don't,
sure.
I don't care.
They did.
I didn't care for the Ed Norton Hulk movie all that much.
A fairly decent. The Hulk looks good.
Yeah. Well,
I think they learned making those other movies.
Yeah. And so the Hulk looked good in the other movies.
Yeah. Well, this one the Hulk's pretty impressive, and they don't let the Hulk out much.
Yeah, they should. That might be the problem with the Hulk.
Yeah.
It may not be able to carry a whole film.
The Hulk shows up for the last, you know, 30 minutes of this one, but isn't mostly he's Captain. They keep going, don't piss him off.
Yeah.
Anyway, big action scenes, pretty fun. It is kind of crazy to see New York getting leveled.
Yeah, they do that.
You're like, oh, hey, remember 9/11? Nope, guess not. All right, blow that building up.
Blow.
You know what I mean? There's a lot of, you know, it's like an alien invasion is basically what happens. And I don't want to spoil it, but there are some big, big laughs. There's one moment in the movie, there's like a big. And this is something I always long for that I feel is missing in a lot of action movies, is that big kind of Indiana Jones payoff. You know, there's a moment in here where, you know, like when Indiana Jones shoots the guy with the sword.
Sure, yeah.
There's a big, huge payoff moment in here that's very funny.
That
the whole audience goes berserk for. And you don't have to be a dork to appreciate it. It's great. It's got a lot of those moments, maybe a little long, and maybe... For the dork faithful, stick around after the credits.
Uh-oh.
Because they'll tease the next movie.
Oh, my God.
In a way that will wet your dork clit.
Oh.
Your dork clit will be... you'll be squirting. I mean, you'll be like Alicia Klass. You'll be squirting everywhere.
Does this movie satisfy the nerds?
It should satisfy the dorks profoundly. It should satisfy the regular viewer well.
Yeah, because to me, I don't see a lot of... I mean, I'm sure this movie... You know, but this movie probably needs to make $300 million to break even or something. Like, yes. The way these budgets are nowadays, that, you know, when the $200 gross is not good enough, then something... But I'm feeling like maybe this movie isn't going to be as big as maybe even some of the other Marvel movies had been. The two that came out last year, I think, kind of disappointed, but it seemed like the Iron Man movies were huge.
They didn't disappoint. Those were hits.
But they weren't... They made what?
But you know what?
I'm saying they made $180 million each, and they would expect to do more than that
or
something.
This is what we call a bad business model.
Yeah.
If they're expecting the movies to make that.
That's what I'm feeling like. I'm feeling like this movie has to make double what Thor made to be successful. And I just don't know if you can do that just from dorks. Because I feel like something like Thor was all the dorks went to it. The general public embraced it, but not to a huge level, like they embraced like something like Dark Knight. So it made what it made. But, you know, the dork audience is sort of a baseline, 100-something million. And then you have to add on to that. And that comes from regular people.
I think this one will do just fine.
Yeah, okay.
You know what? If they lopped a half hour off of it, it would really
make more
money.
Well, that's what I wonder. I wonder if this is,
No, they really could have lopped a half hour off of it and made more money, because now they're losing a screening a day. But... it is going.
It's
going
to be at 50 screens. You know, yeah, you go to a 30-plex, it's going to be on 15 of the screens probably.
I think this will do great internationally.
Okay.
Because shit blow up good.
And they like that.
Right?
America blow up, we like it.
America's blowing up, and even though Captain America is running around there.
Captain America you think would save us, but no.
I think there's a political... No, I mean just America. Other people will go, what is the American guy doing fighting this aliens? But where is Captain Sandun? He is my favorite. Oh, I love Captain Sandun. Where is Captain Iraq Z?
So Corey's a fan.
Why my stupid Chaldean voice had to come in?
Why the Chaldeans?
Chicken cream chop. That's
what did the Chaldeans ever do to us?
They make wonderful falafel for us to enjoy, and then they hump all our white women. All hump the shit out of our white women. They go to our dance club and they fuck the white bitch.
All right, we got
to
wrap up.
All
the
right,
show.
Right, thank you. Ending it on a high note for the kids.
Go see Avengers a week from Friday.
Uh-huh. Today's safe word for listening to the entire program. Today's will be...
What is it, Corey?
Pink lemonade.
There you go.
If you made it all the way through the show...
Lemonade is the code word.
Just slap it on my Facebook. Call in the douchebag hotline, 610-552-0746. Say pink lemonade.
And don't forget, you can leave comments on the front page of jewelradio.net. So please feel free to
tell
do
us
that.
If you... How fragrant you think Mike Wallace's ball sack was. What else, Joel? Bruce Springsteen anecdotes.
If you saw Springsteen, go ahead. He's playing.
If you saw the E Street Band.
He's playing in L.A. tonight and tomorrow night. So if you get a chance to see Bruce.
Listeners live in an
upclass. Well, but you know,
he's
coming to Finland and shit in the summer. So all those
Finland
motherfuckers can go see them there, our international fans. He's playing every football stadium in the continent this summer.
All right,
so
good times.
You guys can go to that. And then he's doing 4 days at MetLife Field, which is the new Giants stadium in New Jersey.
Okay.
And then he's doing 2 nights at Wrigley in Chicago, and he's doing the Rogers Center, which is the Sky Dome in Toronto.
Joel's got the whole calendar.
Big stadiums in the fall, so Springsteen's out there. So anyway. But anyway, thanks for listening to Joel Radio. I don't think we have much else to comment on, do we?
No, that's it.
All right, we're out of here. We're done. We'll see.
All right, traffic and weather together on the 8th. Let's go. Oh, I wish that bitch would drop trowel.
Hey.
Why did I got to put the ugly bitch there, the one taking her dits off? I just turned into Quagmire. Giggity.
I'll get the music queued up any second now. And
yeah, there you go.
I will rescue our
fans. Thanks for listening
to
Dago and the Schnoz.
Yeah, there you go. All right, Corey, thank you. And don't forget to read Corey in Metro Times. He's got his...
Best of issues out this week.
And I'm guessing you're reviewing Avengers in there, too. So
yes, I will be.
They can catch that at MetroTimes.com when that thing gets published. And until then, we'll catch you next time on JoelRadio.net. Goodbye.
L'chaim.
Good night.